I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th,
2046. I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes. Not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that. Actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera. Hear something weird or something like that.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's like our EMF meter started this going on.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
We'll be right back. Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies, and you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you got to do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye! You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
We're going to get in touch with our sensitive side now.
Yay.
Or I'm hopefully, I don't know, maybe
we'll
I'm
find
wrong.
Out.
We'll see.
Because Karen Tate is an independent scholar of the sacred feminine for two decades. She's a published author with articles in international and domestic magazines. Her current book, Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, is in local bookstores, and her upcoming book, Walking an Ancient Path, is due out in summer of 2008. Sounds like it may already be out. This is an old bio, isn't it?
My.
Let's just continue on.
Yeah.
She has led and organized...
50 lashings for me, I see.
She has led and organized tours to sacred places of goddess on itineraries that circle the globe. She is the co-founder of Sacred Sundays, an interfaith spiritual service rooted in the sacred feminine, complemented by the divine masculine, as well as the Isis Ancient Cultures Society, an educational nonprofit organization that employs partnership ideals and raises awareness of the divine feminine within mainstream society through educational, art, and cultural events. The website is www.karentate.com. That's KarenTate.com. And we would like to welcome Karen Tate to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sorry about the bio.
Well, you know, that's probably my fault. I'll take the 50 lashes. But yeah, the book has been out since June, so it's out there if anybody's interested in bookstores or on Amazon or direct from me if they want it signed, whatever.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's awesome. So there's the two books available, Sacred Places of Goddess, that's 108 Destinations,
mm-hmm.
and Walking an Ancient Path. So both of them are out and
about.
Stores,
out
so.
About. Check them out for sure. Tell us a little bit about, well, as far as your beliefs are concerned, I guess it'll tie into the sacred feminine, so we'll learn about that too. But tell us a little bit about your beliefs, if you don't mind, Karen.
No, sure. Because, you know, nobody's more surprised than me, you know, how I've really sort of shifted and changed over the last 20 years. Because, you see, I grew up in New Orleans, you know, Mardi Gras town. But that's the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up a Catholic, and, you know, you really just didn't hear about Goddess in the Bible Belt. You know, I wasn't rubbing shoulders with pagans or Wiccans or anybody back then. I'm sure they were there, but they must have really been underground.
Yeah.
And even when you took college classes, you know, they didn't really talk about Goddess in much, except, you know, like in classical Greek myth. It certainly wasn't a viable spirituality for contemporary times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then I moved to California and had my horizons broadened. And, you know how it is. I mean, you know, you stumble onto things, and when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And, you know, it was sort of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took this really fluff piece, you know, fluff class that was related to Goddess, and it just opened up the floodgates, and it changed my life. I was fortunate that at the time travel was still cheap, and I was a part-time travel agent, so I was able to go a lot of places around the world, and it didn't cost me a lot of money.
Ah.
I mean, imagine round trip to Paris for $250.
Oh,
you know?
God, sign me up.
So I was able to go to a lot of these, archaeological sites and museums that, you know, we just aren't exposed to here in the United States because we're isolated by these two huge oceans. And so it really sort of validated the spirituality for me. It made me see that this was a reality, that goddess was worshipped 30 to 40,000 years ago, before a male god was worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it makes you look at the world in a totally different way. And when you start to understand why she disappeared, then you really start to look at the world in a different sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it even ties into all the economic meltdown that's going on in the world, because, you know, I guess when I talk about goddess, I'm not just talking about her as like a deity that lives in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also talking about her as an archetype that's sort of a mentor, if you will, to, you know, that sort of helps us be the best that we can be, whatever chosen path we're on, and a social and political and cultural ideal, sort of setting values and benchmarks for living. So, you know, if you're an atheist, you know, you can get into the ideals of the sacred feminine because it's about the needs of the many, not the few.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, the social and political aspects of it, because we were having this conversation. I was over my folks' house last night. Amber, you remember this. It's kind of where we decided it was time to leave because we got into that where, you know, we were talking about, we were talking about Hillary Clinton and stuff like that and the whole election that's coming up and whatnot. And we were talking, getting into, you know, well, what if, you know, we had a woman president or, you know, those, everybody asks these questions.
Sure. Everybody's talking. I mean, it's on everybody's mind and tongue right now, like never before.
Well, I mentioned to my dad, I'm like, well, I personally think that if we've had a couple of female presidents over the last century, things would be a lot different now, as far as the outcome.
You might be right, but let me maybe clarify that a little bit to say it would have to be the right woman. Okay. Gender and genitalia doesn't a good, you know, that isn't the criteria.
Okay.
Because I'm one of these believers that Sarah Palin would not advance women at all. And we would not be better off with her in the White House just because she's a woman.
Well, if I may, I mean, and I'm just asking, I'm just curious, why do you think that?
Well, because she's not qualified. You know, I really don't think she is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different reasons. Besides the fact that she's not qualified, she doesn't really uphold the ideals of the sacred feminine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sacred feminine or goddess, it's about, not raping the earth, not exploiting people or exploiting the creatures. You see, she's just been found, to have abused her power. She's, you know, she supports this idea of shooting, you know, wolves from helicopters. She's involved with this fundamentalist evangelical church that that has this, you know, this witch doctor guy who has prayed over her. You know, the line between church and state, I think, could severely get blurred with her at the helm.
Okay.
We would lose Roe v. Wade, so that would disempower women.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to her church believes that they are at war with the Queen of Heaven. Well, the Queen of Heaven since Babylonian times has been the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in every woman that I know that I admire, whether that be, you know, Starhawk, Rhianne Eisler, Eve Ensler of the Vagina Monologues, National Organization for Women, they're all coming out against her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, you know, any woman is not the answer. It's got to be a woman who is, you know, aware of a lot of these things that, you know, I'm afraid this woman, you know, she's just not very bright.
I think that's a lot of good reasons.
I've seen the SNL skits.
Oh.
You know, what's really interesting about those is they compare the skit, you know, what Tina Fey says in the skits with what was actually said by Sarah Palin. And, wow, they don't take very many liberties. And yet, you know, that you put it on SNL and it's like freaking hilarious because it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why do you think they're hiding her from the press? The woman can give a speech and she spunky and she's sassy and she's attractive. But you know what? She cannot, you know, she cannot put an argument together. She thinks she's an the very fact that she thinks she's an expert on foreign affairs because she can see Russia from Alaska scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, you need to, like, actually go and be diplomatic and
maybe know
yeah.
some history, maybe be a political science major, for instance. You know, look, I'm all for supporting women, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I am right there. I think it's really important that women support women, but we can't wear blinders either. And I think, you know, with her, you know, she's great looking, but you know, she's got problems. I mean, look, her husband is part of an organization that wanted to secede from the union.
Yeah.
You know, I could go on and on, but I don't know if you want to talk about that.
But it is a good point. It's a good example that, yeah, okay. So
not
every woman, not every man is
set for the job. I did make a pretty, like I said, this whole thing started with me mentioning this conversation I had with my folks last night.
Right.
And I did say that, like an open-ended argument. I said, I think personally, but you're digging into the meat of it, though, which makes, I'm glad to hear this.
But there have been women over time who could have, you know, in the past 100 years, who could have probably.
Oh, sure, without a doubt. Look, without a doubt, we are behind in the times.
Yeah.
Do you realize that Turkey, the country of Turkey, okay, women could vote in Turkey before women here in the United States could? And I don't know if you saw the documentary Iron Jawed Angels, but women here in this country actually were thrown into institutions because they were fighting too hard for the right to vote.
Yes.
I mean, you know, this country can be scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really can. I mean, I don't think men are aware of it quite so much. I mean, but women, you know, especially if you've taken feminist studies or anything like that, you start, and this happened to me, okay? So I'm a perfect example of a woman who spent the first 30 years of her life totally unaware of any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I come out here to California, and I am exposed to new ideas, new truths. And it just shook my world. And some people are afraid to have their world shaken up, so they keep wearing blinders the rest of their life. But, you know, I'm not like that. I feel like let's shed the light on it so that we can talk about it, so that we can all understand it, because then maybe we can all move forward together, you know, in some sort of uplifted awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well,
why is California special then? Because, like, I mean, you're right. I can't see that down in... I could see it actually, you know, more enlightenment, I think, would happen more likely in New Orleans rather than the rest of Louisiana or, you know, Mississippi. But I would see that, or even Texas. Wow. Big conservative state. But,
yeah.
I mean, what about, why would it take, like, going to California or some place like, you know, I mean, I'm sure if you had gone to Sedona, you'd have learned similar things, but... Sedona, Arizona, but
yeah.
what is it place-wise that keeps people in such a mindset, not wanting to learn?
The church dominating thought rather than education dominating thought is the lack of critical thinking. I mean, I hate to say it, but the educational system in Louisiana is bad. You know, and actually, I think that because it's a conservative state, because there's so much influence of the church, that for instance, tenured professors might not be able to teach this stuff and keep their, you know, or if they're not tenured, I mean, and keep their job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that, you know, there's pressures in some of these states to keep the lid on things. Or maybe the more liberal, open-minded and thinking, maybe they don't even get hired.
Well, I know, and there's been situations here, even in Michigan, I've read in the paper of teachers who had a more open mind about things, and they may have discussed these things in their class, and then, you know, the kids come home and mention it to their parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
The parents fly
all
off the lid,
and
next thing you know, they're over there protesting the school, protesting to have this teacher fired. This has happened a couple times in the last 10 years I can think of at the top of my head, the last 10 years here in Michigan, that the parents revolted. And the school system, what are they supposed to do then?
Well, exactly. I mean, look at the big push now, because the religious right has gotten so much power, and because they're so loud and noisy, you know, that they want to teach creationism in schools as if it's just as a valid point as evolution is. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a blurring of church and state that should never happen. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to teach your kids creationism, teach them in Sunday school or something, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. I mean, and here we go back to Sarah Palin. She's one of these people, like a lot of people I grew up with in New Orleans, that think man and dinosaur walked the earth at the same time. And when they asked her why, she said because she saw man's footprints inside the footprint of a dinosaur. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, please. I mean, I was watching Bill Maher last night on, you know, and he said, this woman is, you know, she doesn't even know that she doesn't have the gene in her body to be embarrassed about herself. You know, because she says stuff that she, I mean, she doesn't even have a clue how ridiculous she sounds and how it's exposing her lack of awareness and education. Well, so, I mean, I want somebody in the White House who is a million times smarter than me. You know, I don't know when it got to be a bad thing to be smart, you know, but you know, smart is equated with liberal, and we know liberal and elite, you know, has become this elite term. I want, you know, with the fix this country's in right now on so many different fronts, I want a genius in the White House. I don't want somebody like her.
Well, I mean, it's simply putting it, it's a skill set like anything else is, and, you know, I don't want to turn this into a money argument, but for the amount of money these people do get paid to do these jobs, I mean, yeah, according to that skill set, they should be geniuses. They should be absolutely brilliant to do the job they do. Yeah.
They should be the most qualified, but instead, you know, what do we get? You know, and it scares me to death that, you know, the people out there who aren't really paying attention to the issues, that believe all the commercials on television, that, you know, like the McCain campaign has been running, for weeks and months, all they've been doing is lying to the people, you know, putting out all these commercials, that distort the truth. They are counting on people's racism and fear to get him in the White House. What does that say? Is that putting the country first? I don't think so.
No, it's all about agendas. But
yeah, completely.
You know, so evidently, I have to say that whatever little town in Alaska she's from, Sarah Palin's from, that's obviously not a place of power or a sacred place of the goddess, right?
Well, I can tell you it's ranked as one of the highest. It's ranked as having some of the highest statistics in incest and domestic violence. So what does that tell you? How they treat their women? Thank you.
We're gonna take hits for that. I know.
Oh gosh. No,
well, that's okay though. It's all right. Well, okay. So I mean,
but
well, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was trying to get into the fact that there are, because one of the things that you do is organize tours, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, we're leaving Tuesday for Turkey.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. You'll be in a progressive country. Maybe you could ask.
Well, no. Well, it was more progressive my first trip about 7 or 8 years ago. The fundamentalists are gaining power there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
but yeah, I really do believe that there are places, and I think we're going to end up having to go to break, right?
We got a couple minutes. We're okay.
Okay, because I decided to, you know, like, guide the topic a little bit into something that I'm desperately interested in.
Like any professional would.
Well, that's what I do. And then what happens is we're going to butt up against time. But I do believe in places of power. I really think that Sedona, Arizona is a place that, had you happened across that, even before, the 30 years that you were, you know, in the Bible Belt, had you even gone on a vacation or something to Sedona, you'd have been like, whoa!
Definitely can feel the energy. It's without a doubt. Of course, yeah, I definitely agree.
So, I mean, that's like a place that's just like, you know, I mean, it just really helps wake someone up. There's other places too in the United States, and then of course there's evidently Turkey, and of course around the
obvious ones, the pyramids. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've gotten Stonehenge, which evidently they cremated people there now. I don't know. They keep every week they change their mind as to what Stonehenge was for. It's really literally hitting the news every week or every other week. Stonehenge.
Well, maybe it was a place that they did all sorts of things in. It was there was multitasking going on there.
Maybe it was a park. You don't hide the stuff at a park.
There might have been.
There was just some rocks there. just a little different.
They stood them up, and then
instead
boom,
of a swing
of a
set, they have
became.
Rocks. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
But you can feel there. You know, I mean, from what I understand from people who've been to these places, you can definitely feel it. So I was gonna try and ask about these tours and things, and like Turkey. Oh wow, that's got to be amazing. And of course, we're probably up against time. We have what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
Great. 2 minutes before the break. Tell me about Turkey.
Well, you know, one of these power places in Turkey that stood out for me on our last trip, because we're going to some new places this time around, but was a place called Aphrodisias. And it was, and it's named that because it's named after the goddess Aphrodite. Uh-huh. Now, Aphrodite is a little bit different in Turkey, the flavor of her. You know, when you compare her to the Turkish Aphrodite versus the Greek Aphrodite, because mm-hmm. the Greeks sort of diminished the goddess. So you just look at her as like the Botticelli Aphrodite. All she is a goddess of love and beauty. But she's so much more. She was so much more in the beginning till the Greeks got hold of her because they were very misogynist. Mm-hmm. But in Aphrodisias, it's an incredible place where you can feel the power. I stood in front of her temple with the two mother mountains on either side of me with snow caps. And before me was this field of red poppies, the stream running alongside the temple. And I, you know, in all these years later, you know, the hair still stands up on my arms and the back of my neck thinking about it because of how I felt just, you know, standing there in this powerfully energetic place. And, you know, some places just have this, you know, this potency, and other places not so much.
Well, when we come back, because we do have to go to break, let's try to get into that. I'd like to talk about some other places you and other people that you travel with have been to,
and how sure. the people you travel with have learned from this. Because I want to know the things that they're learning and what's going on. So, but meanwhile, though, we're gonna go. What is this Bonnie Vent?
This is Bonnie Vent. Yeah, this is
gonna
paranormal news.
Giving us the paranormal news on the break. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, everybody, rush over to your browsers and type in www.KarenTate, KarenTate.com. That's who we're talking to, and that's who we'll be back with after the paranormal news.
Ghostly talk.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Hey, here's an interesting opportunity. The New York Times is looking for haunted homeowners for an upcoming article. If you live in a house with paranormal activity and want to tell your experiences publicly, please send me an email at parax.news@aol.com. Please include some details and I'll connect you with a New York Times reporter. You need to include where your house is located and what types of activity you are experiencing, and also if you find it disturbing to your day-to-day life. Once again, send the email to parax.news@aol.com and get this done today. This story comes from the TurlockJournal.com. Hospital hauntings found at Ensley Building. When Bob Ensley bought the two-story downtown property in 1994, he remodeled the downstairs into a modern office, but left the upstairs untouched. Aside from a few rooms used for storage, the over 20 vacant upstairs rooms that were once used for the hospital and then professional offices only saw visitors during the annual haunted house event put on by local charities. Although Ensley never experienced any unusual events in the rare times he ventured upstairs, he has heard footsteps coming from the second story when no one was supposed to be up there, and he has had the security motion sensors go off and on for no known reason. Due to these reports of strange occurrences, Ensley sought the expertise of the American Paranormal Investigations. What they found was a host of paranormal activity. The most incredible evidence API captured was an audio recording of a woman singing a lullaby in French. The recording of the lullaby lasts 11 seconds and was recorded by an investigator who was alone in the room at the time. After the lullaby, a different woman's voice is heard saying, "Mr. Watson," followed by a male voice saying, "Huh?" Other sounds that API recorded and view as paranormal included a whisper heard at the beginning of every electronic voice phenomena session, and footsteps that sounded to the investigators as if someone was walking down the hallway, and a male voice saying, "Behind you!" API's overall impressions of the Sierra building are that it has quite a bit of residual activity as well as intelligent spirits in residence. George Clooney is taking a walk on the paranormal side. George Clooney starts filming an Iraq movie in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is standing in for Iraq as George Clooney and other major stars begin filming a new movie in the U.S. Island Territory. Clooney and co-stars Ewan McGregor and Kevin Spacey are filming Men Who Stare at Goats in the central Puerto Rican town of Camarillo. The movie is based on a 2004 book about alleged U.S. military efforts to develop paranormal powers for American soldiers. An Indiana mansion offers ghost tours and sleepovers. Staff members of the 19th century Culbertson Mansion have found a spirited way to raise money for renovations, ghost tours, and haunted sleepovers. Up to 13 visitors at a time can pay $100 each to spend the night at the mansion, which is a state historic site. The overnight experience, offered twice a year around Halloween, includes a candlelight dinner, tarot card readings, and a scavenger hunt. Visitors also have time to explore the 1867 home and can move beyond roped-off areas typically off-limits during public tours. Flickering lights and odor of tobacco in any area where no one was smoking and other mysteries add to the fun. "It's just a wonderful house to come and visit and spend the night in. I couldn't resist it," says Ed Robinson of New Albany. The Victorian Mansion in the city just north of Louisville, Kentucky, also offers ghost tours and scary storytelling. The Culbertson Mansion, with 25 rooms and more than 20,000 square feet, was built by millionaire businessman William S. Culbertson, once considered to be the wealthiest man in Indiana. The mansion also hosts Christmas activities and Victorian teas, as well as historic tours throughout the year. A sleepover is scheduled for November 1st, beginning at 6 p.m., including candlelight dinner, ghost tour, and a scavenger hunt. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Benz.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
You fell off your diet there, Doug.
Well, Canadian Thanksgiving fell off my diet.
Yeah, you're probably like, oh. I can only imagine. Amber brought dinner for us tonight. Thank you, honey.
Yes, thank you so
much.
Yeah,
thank you for, in between breaks, for running out and grabbing food and drink and stuff. We're talking about the sacred feminine and areas of power with Karen Tate. And before the break, I mentioned, like, you know, I wanted to kind of get into, you know, some of these other areas around the world. just because I think it's really super interesting.
Yeah, the first book was Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations by Karen Tate. And then, of course, Walking an Ancient Path is the new book by Karen. But, yeah, we started talking about going to Turkey and one of the places that just, you know, Karen was standing there.
Yeah.
And you just can feel it.
But yeah.
I don't want to, it's aphrodisias or something.
What was the name of the place again?
That was right, you got it right, aphrodisias.
Oh, good.
There you go.
I'm sorry, because just after, like, you know, rushing back and I didn't take note, I didn't, you know, usually I'd write down the things that I want to say again, but I didn't even write
it. That was a good memory,
There was food involved, we had
food involved, yes. I have to say that. You know, so there's a place of power, a place that really you can feel it, you can, and it moves you, and you want to go back to, you want to go back there, and you want, or you, and you want to study it, you want to learn about it, you want to, and how about, so when you go back there, you're going to take people there, right, and they're, the folks on the tour, and they're going to hopefully, you know, be moved by this experience, by the experiences on your tours. And does it move them to continue and do more study? Does it move them to develop spiritually? Has it scared anyone away? Tell us about the people who go on your tours.
Well, you know, the reactions are as diverse as the people. You know, some people are more psychic than others, so, you know, they may get you know, a different sort of, you know, they might be able to tune in more easily and, you know, get more in-depth sort of experiences. I've been with people who have had auditory experiences that they thought they were actually maybe hearing Goddess speak to them. Then, to the other extreme where people were there just for the learning experience. You know, it sort of broadened their horizons to be standing in these places and seeing it with their own eyes, because it's so different, you know, standing in a place and, you know, even if it's an archaeological site that's in ruins versus reading about it in a book, you know. We've done ritual in some of these temples where we've had situations that it's almost like, you know, people would get this knowing. And one example I'll share with you is we were in the Sekhmet temple in Karnak. Sekhmet is an Egyptian lion head goddess that she was a mother, a healer, a warrioress. And one of the women during the ritual got this intuitive idea, sense, whatever you want to call it, that she needed to go lay hands of healing on another one of the women in her torso, in her womb-like area, her stomach. And none of us really knew each other that well. You know, a lot of the people that come on these trips, you know, we're coming from all different parts of the country, and we don't always know each other beforehand.
Yeah.
And so we don't know each other's history. And anyway, she laid hands on this woman as if to heal her, you know, just sort of obeying this inner voice. And we found out later when everybody shared their experience that this woman had given herself the gift of this trip because she was facing some serious surgery, some gynecological problems when she got home. And, you know, and none of us knew this, you know.
Mm.
So it's like sometimes this, you know, this sort of divine guidance comes through. You know, it's really pretty remarkable. You know, I had an experience in the Queen's Chamber of the Great Pyramid. I got to tell you, I'm a skeptical Virgo. I don't just jump to these things and believe every little thing. You know, I tend to maybe do the opposite.
Yeah.
But I just had this peripheral flash of the goddess Isis, you know, for a split second when I was, you know, in the Queen's Chamber with a group of women. And what was remarkable about it was in the next few seconds, all the women started breaking out into this chant as if, again, they were being divinely guided. It was, you know, it's just this simultaneous, you know, this chanting from all of us. I mean, you know, it's hard to verbalize some of these things, you know, because it's kind of like you almost had to be there to fully feel what people were getting. But You know, I know a guy who went to Turkey, and he was, you know, a brilliant fellow, and knew a lot about history and religion and archaeology and all of this. And he went to Turkey with a stutter. Okay, he was on this journey by himself. He was visiting all the sacred sites of Artemis because Artemis was his deity. He felt an affinity for her. Mm. He came home, and I have, you know, he has not stuttered again. You know, I mean, it's just some of these stories are, you know, are hard to believe. And, you know, you can't directly equate them to a miracle, but it makes you wonder. You know, it really makes you wonder.
Well, and these places, I mean, we've heard all that. I mean, obviously the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, the Giza Plateau there, I mean, that is, you know, the be-all, end-all of power sites on the planet. I think that's probably the most popular, I mean, as far as debate and all that stuff's concerned, I mean, that is the number one place to go to. I've heard lots of stories of lots of people going there and experiencing things and feeling things. And the one question I do have with these power, these places of power on the Earth, and I've often, you know, this is, a lot of this happens, like, you know, where people, I mean, do the people power that? I guess I should, I'm trying to ask this question the right way. What I mean is, sometimes, I mean, you hear, you read and you hear and all these things about these places, and it just, I'm not saying that they're not any genuine type of, you know, phenomena or anything that's going there, but it seems like you get that many people there that are so focused in that area. I mean, that seems like it could add to the whole place, I mean, where you would feel this power, it seems to me. You
well,
follow what I'm
know,
saying? I'm not saying
I think
it's
not real. I think I do. I think what you're saying is their focused intention is... well, you know, I think there's something to that, because some places that are supposed to be power places, you know, I haven't felt anything. Some places feel dead. Mm. You know, and some places don't. And I haven't figured it out yet. Sometimes I think it can be a person's mood, you know, if they're open that day, if they're not open, if they're generally, you know, more psychic than other people. I think there's a lot of factors that have to be considered, including, you know, what's going on, you know, in the physical place. But yeah, I think these, in general, these sacred places for thousands of years sometimes, they become containers, repositories of people's focus and intention. People have come there to heal, to pray. You know, people have a lot invested in these places. And I think it becomes a cumulative effect in a way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I believe that too, because if... there is something, I think, to focused intent, like you started out saying, and there's something to it. And then if you put all of, you know, many, many people in one place, it's more, it just becomes more concentrated. And I think that will help bolster and keep the energy flowing and continuing. And plus, it's always good to you know, have a place to go to... either in some cases perform a ritual, in some cases just reflect, you know, depending on the, you know, the place that it is. Because obviously if it's a sacred, you know, garden or something, you're not going to go and you know, prostrate and you know, just like absolutely start, you know, wailing on yourself or whatever. You would do that somewhere else. You would reflect.
Yeah, you would sort of quiet, you know, to do some sort of a quiet intention. I mean, when you're saying that, you reminded me of a place in Tokyo. It was a temple dedicated to a Shinto goddess. And I walked in there, and I was so moved by the visuals, by the sound, by the smells of incense. I literally wanted to fall, you know, prostrate on the floor, but I didn't want to look like a moron or an idiot, you know. But it was so powerful in this place. It moved me. I really wanted to do it. And when I left, I regretted that I didn't do something, you know, that I just sort of stood there like a tourist and I didn't somehow, you know, show some outward signs of reverence, you know, because it just... It elicited that, you know. It just wanted you to do it. And then there are places like, for instance, Malta. Malta, you know, a lot of people go to Malta and have this wonderful experience. Now, I did in the Hypogeum, which is like this underground cavern that they're not really sure exactly what it was used for because the archaeology was so shoddy in the early days. But I was really moved in this underground space. But when we went on to all the temples that were, you know, above ground, you know, it felt dead. You know, there are places where the energy just doesn't feel alive anymore. Mm. Some of the places that I recall that felt the most alive were the whole entire countryside of Ireland. That was a big surprise for me. I didn't expect that. There were a lot of places in Ireland just out in the countryside and where, you know, in farmers' fields where there were standing stones or, and not always where there were standing stones. We were in this, in Connemara, we stayed in this thatched cottage for a few days, and there was just something about the, you know, the wailing of the wind outside and the sheep on the lawn and the brook. I mean, just being in nature in a way like I'd never felt it before, you know. Mm-hmm. In my book, Walking an Ancient Path, in the Earth section, I talk more about some of the experiences we've had in some of these on some of these journeys. And, you know, Bath in England, it was a healing spring. That, the energy there felt very potent, as well. You know, it's just, you know, some places you feel it, and at least for me, and some places I didn't feel it quite so much.
Do you think it has a similar thing to where, like, for example, in hardcore science, you know, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, or, you know.
It can just change form.
Changes.
It can just change form. So is there something similar to that? Like, perhaps if a place was, you know, very sacred and very powerful and then, you know, ceases to be, either because it's, you know, lost for memory. I mean, they just found, like, a pyramid in South America somewhere based on they took some imagery from satellites.
Yeah.
And they just found some pyramid that you can't get to because it's like it's been grown over like so much.
Yeah.
Right.
That it's now completely buried. But they found that so forgotten or something. Like, I'm sure if you walk over that,
well,
you may or may not feel
that's
something.
That's that idea of focused intention that I mentioned.
Right. It may have been a place of power at some point, but now now it's overgrown and forgotten. But, you know, but what happens to that intention or that
well, you know, I think I get what you're saying. I think there's something to do with reciprocity. I think the best way I can describe it is, do you recall a movie a few years back? It was one of these King Arthur movies where he was talking to the Lady of the Lake. She was actually sort of a voice emanating from the lake where he got Excalibur. And she said that she was fading away. She was dying because people didn't remember her mm-hmm. or speak her name anymore. I think as long as people go to places and put energy into them, I think we get it back. But I think when we stop putting energy into any place or anything, whether it be a sacred place or a relationship or whatever it is, we don't get anything back anymore. And it gets to the point where it, you know, what you nourish flourishes, you know, and what you neglect withers. And that's what nature really teaches us. And, you know, that's sort of an ideal of the sacred feminine. And that might be what you're talking about, where some of these places have been forgotten, and the, you know, and the energy isn't continued to be focused there anymore. So maybe it's just not as potent as it was at you know, at other times.
Yeah,
interesting, because like you said, you know, when anything you put energy into, if you're, you know, if you're caring for a plant, some people are green thumbs,
well,
some people
yeah,
aren't.
Anything.
If you're putting, you know, energy and time into a relationship, so I can see the daily, you know, the daily examples of that philosophy, which is perfect. But also, I'm wondering, it related, this is like tangential to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's places where you didn't feel it, but perhaps other people did.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you get it only if you need it, or only
maybe
if
your radar
you
is just
on
your radar. Maybe your radar is maybe different.
A different radar screen is
well. It could be that. It could be that, or it could be as simple as I could have been too tired that day. Like when you go into ritual, or if you want to go into trance or a shamanic journey, a lot of people believe that you should eat really light or fast. That you need to prepare your mind. When you're on these trips, it's really demanding. You're tired. A lot of times you're jet lagged. You're dealing with just the everyday nuisances of getting from point A to point B. There's a lot of distractions, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's the distraction. There's the physical drain on your body, and if you're not fasting, if you're not in the right headspace, I think it's harder to tune in. And it could be that on these days I wasn't tuning in, I wasn't up to it that day. The antenna wasn't up.
Right. And I can absolutely see that. It just makes sense. I mean, we see that in ghost hunting. Sometimes you go out, you have a fabulous night,
kinds of weird things happening.
This place
to you.
Was phenomenal, and maybe I caught something on tape or film, or maybe I didn't, but it was a great trip. And then sometimes you go out and you're just there.
Well, it ties right in with ghost
hunting.
It ties right in with ghost hunting, actually, because, and Karen, I'm sure you can relate to this in some point. We talked to tons of people that are like, hey, did you hear about this particular place? And we're like, well, no, tell us about it. And they tell us, oh my God, the place is insane. There's all this crazy stuff going on.
Books flying off the wall.
We gotta go.
Time moves backwards. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we go there, or somebody else may go there,
and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
I totally get that. You see, my husband's more psychic than me. We can walk in a place and he'll say, oh, you know what? Somebody just died here.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just more gifted than others,
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that probably is our case too. We're not very gifted when it comes to ghost hunting.
Speaking of ghost hunting, I know I'm talking about ghost hunting, but how would the afterlife, the idea of death and perhaps death and rebirth and, how does all that fit into the goddess paradigm?
Well, I've never been asked that before. Let me think about that. I don't think that's necessarily. A lot of people who are goddess advocates are Wiccans or pagans, for instance, and not all of them though, because more and more people are coming to this, even progressive Christians. But that's another conversation. But we're coming upon Samhain right now, Halloween.
Right.
Pagans and neo-pagans and Wiccans believe that that's their new year. It's the time of the year when the veil between the worlds is thinner.
Mm-hmm.
They think that maybe they can communicate with their ancestors who have passed to the other side maybe more easily. So that might be a way within some aspects of some people's belief in God or spirituality that, the ghostly aspect comes in.
Yeah.
Goddess advocates and goddess spirituality, that's one of the beauties of it. It is so diverse that everybody doesn't believe the same thing, there's a lot of room for a lot of different opinions. I'm a goddess advocate, and I watch all of those shows, and I don't have a moment's doubt that there's, people's energy that still exists with us on some level. I don't understand it, but
yeah.
I'm not going to deny it's there simply because it can't absolutely be proven scientifically.
Ah. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, and that ties right in. I mean,
well, and what I like about that is that so you go to your pastor or priest or something, and you say, I think I saw a ghost. They're like, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Because when we die, all we're doing is, laying there in our graves or whatever, waiting for the rapture, and then, we'll all be taken to heaven at the same time or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. What about that ghost I saw, though?
Let me talk about this for a second.
Nope, can't talk about that at all. No.
Well, I'm going to tell you something very magical that I wrote about in my current book, Walking an Ancient Path, but I've never said publicly on the air before. I said I was a skeptical ago. So mm-hmm. this was something for years I never shared with anybody but my husband and my closest friends. But, you know, I'm okay with it now. I don't care what people think. you know, I came back from my first trip in Greece, and I had lost a particular ring. And I'll keep the story short, but the ring was gone. I couldn't find the ring. And, you know, while I was on the trip, every day I looked for it, it was gone, but I know I had it in the early part of the trip. I couldn't find it toward the end of the trip. When I got home and unpacked my suitcases, it wasn't there. I went for weeks, okay, and I could not find the ring. The ring appeared on my Isis altar, and I believe that that was a sign from Goddess for me to stay the path. So, you know, there are things in this world, my point is, there are things in this world we cannot explain, you know, but that doesn't mean they're not happening. And, you know, all you need is for one thing like that to happen to you, one thing that defies explanation, that you're afraid somebody wants to put you in a rubber room for, and then you know, it sort of changes the context of everything. It's like all of a sudden possibilities open up to you that, you know, maybe before this occurrence, you didn't really think about, or you didn't, you know, believe was possible.
Well, it's inspiring, I think. I know the experiences that I've had, and they're few and far between when it comes to the paranormal.
And they do
inspire.
They inspire, they broaden. They I think they start you thinking, you know, oh, I can't explain that. And then you're like,
I think what they do tell us is, you know, there are a lot more questions than we have answers for.
Mm-hmm.
I think it stops us from being arrogant to think we know it all. You know, and we really should just be out there trying to learn as much as we possibly can instead of being these people who live in these little boxes that think, you know, there's only one way to look at the world, because I think there's an incredible world of potential out there, and we've barely scratched the surface.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. I've seen that in just my... Well, we've been doing the show for what? We're in our seventh year or something, or sixth year
something
of broadcasting?
Like that.
I don't know.
I
and in just talking to people, I've noticed that there's, like, so much that we haven't talked about.
Oh, God, yeah. And it's frustrating, I know, here, because we're like, there's so much more to do. There's so much more to break into with this stuff. Yeah, we've scratched the surface on our thing. So it's all out there. There is so much out there to try to...
Well, in every day, science and magic become closer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, science starts to prove some of these, you know... I mean, like, for instance, you heard of the movie What the Bleep. I mean, we're starting to, you know, now we have scientific evidence that our thoughts have power. You know, I mean, we didn't believe that or know that a few years ago.
Yeah, and you're right. That science and magic, the gap between them, it's closing every day.
Well, as they transmit a photon, you know, across the world or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it arrives before they transmitted it, you know that something is going...
Something,
you know,
weird is
going on.
Magic
is definitely being happening in science right now.
Unfortunately, we are at the top of the hour. We have to go to break. Oh, Karen, I'm so bummed, too.
But I do want to...
I think we could have went all night on this.
I know we could. And, of course, the website, www.KarenTate, KarenTate.com.
Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And Amber's by the...
I'm Amber.
We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.